Hey y'all, life's journey is filled with change, growth, and exciting new chapters. Whether you're welcoming a new family member, stepping into a new city, or chasing after your biggest dreams, you need a ride that's built with more space for the grand challenges ahead. The Toyota Grand Highlander is made for those who embrace every twist and turn. With advanced safety features, innovative tech, and a bold, sophisticated design, it's the SUV that adapts with you with room to spare. This spacious beauty seats up to 8, gives you up to 97.5 cubic feet of cargo space, and has a diverse engine lineup, available in gas or hybrid options, including the powerful 362-horsepower Hybrid Max. Plus, available all-wheel drive means you'll have confidence no matter where life takes you. Ready to take on your dreams? The Grand Highlander is more than a vehicle. It's your partner in embracing all life throws at you. From daily routines to unexpected adventures, it's up for every grand challenge. Learn more at toyota.com/Grand Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Gina, Matteo, and I are back with part two of our season finale episode, looking back at the 2024-25 season. In this episode, we'll be talking about pairs, ice dance, solo dance, synchro, and events of this past season that we want to highlight. If you'd like to hear us talk about the men's or women's competitors from this past season and those highlights, please check out part one of this podcast, and we will link that in our show notes below. Let's move on to the pairs event. We actually, for pairs, we have our comments from our listeners, which is fantastic. But we also got some notes from our good friend, Claire Cloutier. And so we reached out to her. She sent us some notes for her thoughts on the season.
I think a clear standout was Minerva Fabienne Hasse.
Absolutely.
And Nikita Volodin of Germany. So someone shared that their free skate at Nebelhorn at the start of the season was fantastic already. They really enjoyed the epic final lift, and that was almost them sending a message out to the rest of the field saying, we are here, we are a threat. And what's a season for them? What a season. They won the European title, they won another world medal. It's insane how much they achieved, really. They keep growing, thinking that it's such a new team, but they are achieving so much. What are they going to do next season? That's my question.
I don't know. I feel like it's very competitive in pairs. And that performance at Worlds, there were some great pairs performances at Worlds. There were some really solid standout performances. And that was one of them, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was the one I thought should have won gold. I thought that was a gold medal performance, and they didn't take the world title. They, you know, they finished second to Mira and Kiara, but
they did win the free skate.
They did, yes, yes. But yeah, that was the highlight for me in the pairs event at Worlds.
So moving on with some of Claire's notes, she wanted to point out the rise of some of the, you know, some of the notable rises for teams this season. She also mentioned Minerva Fabienne Hasse and Nikita Volodin. She mentioned Ellie Kam and Dani O'Shea. Elisa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov. as well as Anastasia Vepinlaw and Luke Digby. She really felt that they showed real improvement this season, as well as Leah Pereira and Trent Michaud, who, although at Worlds it might not have been their best placement, have shown like more that they're really coming together.
Yeah, they said their turning point when I talked to them was Nationals, and then they won a medal at Four Continents. And so Worlds maybe didn't go as planned for them, but they saw a lot of growth in that, and that they are one of the top teams heading into next season. So, I thought for them, they had a really good season too. And I know Deanna Stiletto-Dudek and Maxime Deschamps didn't have the best season coming in as the world champions. So their season was kind of up and down a little bit, and Worlds was a little disappointing. They did come back a little stronger in the free skate at Worlds. But, you know, you can't count out Deanna next season. So
no.
not a great, you know, their best season, but there are definitely still ones to watch out for next season.
Deanna was one of two pair skaters who got citizenship this year. So she will be eligible. They will be eligible to compete next year in Italy if they're selected for the team. The other one who got citizenship was Alexander Korovin, and he can now represent the Philippines with his partner. I mean, that's life-changing for these teams. Sarah Conti, Niccolò Macci, in the mix for a possible podium placement in Milan. What a bounce back this season for them. They came together and...
That short program at Worlds was awesome.
Yeah, they put their best out there for that short program. Our two-time World Junior Champions, Anastasia Metelkina, Luka Barulova, finished fourth at the World Championships after winning Junior Worlds for the second time. You can't count them out. One of the teams that Claire wanted to point out as rising and up-and-coming team, younger team, Yuna Nagayoka and Sumitada Moriguchi, I think they were the team with a really fast lift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more, I think I'm hoping to see a little bit more of them this season, because I think they definitely are, a team to watch for sure. I agree with Claire definitely on that. I also want to go back and mention, actually, with Italy, when we were talking about Conti and Macci, Rebecca Gilardi and Filippo Ambrosini made it back to Worlds after not being at Worlds the previous season. Italy has two spots for pairs for the Olympics. We don't know what's going on with Lucrezia Beccari and Matteo Grease. We did not see them this season. So, we don't know who will take those two spots for Italy for the Olympics. I mean, a home Olympics. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out next season. But, you know, I was glad to see Rebecca and Filippo back at Worlds, back as sort of this second team for Italy. And then, you know, their season was kind of up and down, but it definitely still showing the strong pairs teams out of Italy. And again, we don't know what's going on with Beccari and Grisi. Could be three teams fighting for those two spots. So
exactly.
It's very important, though, looking at the team event at the Olympic Games as well, isn't it? Because World Team Trophy ended with Italy in bronze medal position, and it was a historic medal for the country. Italy never had any World Team Trophy medal before. And thinking about the team event next season at the Olympic Games, you know, it's going to be quite a big challenge out there. But Italy has got a balanced mix between all the four disciplines at the moment, provided that they all, you know, keep doing what they're doing now, which is being confident, enjoying their skating out there. And
Gina and I talked about Italy and their potential in the team event like a year or two ago, because we were watching it come about. We're like, if they get it together and this keeps working, a medal in the team event is a possibility for them. So at a home Olympics, man.
The U.S. pairs, it's going to be interesting to watch them in the fall.
Yes.
You know, we talked about Alicia and Misha, who won the U.S. championships this year. They had a really good world's debut, because that was their world's debut as a team. They're kind of coming in as the favorite next season in my book, but the citizenship with Alicia is going to be the kind of maybe hindrance to them next season, because we're not quite sure, will she obtain a citizenship in time for the Olympics? And so that's one, you know, kind of news item that we gotta kind of keep an eye out for.
Yeah, her citizenship is not the only one. I think there are a few citizenship things that we're going to have to be watching for. Unfortunately, there may not be enough time. I'm not sure. We don't know, I guess, is what we're saying.
I know.
We don't know how that is going to play out. Also, in the U.S., they're going to have to send a team. The U.S. teams at Worlds, Ellie Kam and Danny O'Shea, as well as Alisa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov, qualified 3 spots for the Olympics for pairs. However, the 3rd spot is contingent upon qualification at the Olympic qualifying event that's taking place in September. So a team must go there, not Ellie and Danny or Alisa and Misha, must go there and finish in the qualification ranking in order for that spot to be utilized.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us are thinking it's going to be Emily Chan and Spencer Howe that'll go and get that spot. You know, they didn't have the best season. Still, I think Spencer's kind of, I mean, it's coming back from that injury from last season, but they're probably the team that's going to go and try to get that 3rd spot. But you also have Katie McBeath and Danielle Parkman, who were 2nd at the U.S. Championships this year. Another one who has citizenship. So there's another team we have to kind of keep an eye out for with citizenship. And many people have probably forgot about Valentina Palacios and Maximiliano Fernandez. They did not compete this past season. They're coming back from Max having surgery. So we definitely have to keep our eyes out for them this season. Claire is saying it should be an interesting fall season for U.S. pairs. I agree with you, Claire, 100%. It is going to be very interesting. It's exciting that the U.S. pairs teams could get a 3rd spot. I just am kind of wondering, are we going to have 3 teams to actually send to the Olympics, given that we have 2 teams currently that are dealing with some citizenship issues?
And 2 teams that are recovering from injury as well. So, because, you know, Danny O'Shea competed at Worlds with an injury and still finished high enough to get the spot. I'm not really sure how this
that was crazy.
How that happened, but
I feel like U.S. pairs always keeps things interesting.
They do. They definitely do.
So ending pairs with the junior field, we already mentioned Anastasia Metelkina and Luca Berulava, which competed in both senior and junior. They became the junior world champions again with a big, almost 40-point margin. In 2nd place at Worlds, we had Sofia Olichenko and Artem Darensky of Ukraine. And in 3rd, Martina Ariano-Kent and Charlie Laliberté-Laurent of Canada. And also wanted to have a quick mention of Zhang Jianxuan and Huang Yiyang of China, which won the Grand Prix final in the junior field and were pretty amazing over there.
Yeah. And I have to mention Kent and Laliberté-Laurent, they were coming back also from an injury and didn't compete most of the season until Canadian Nationals.
And I just want to mention Olivia Flores and Luke Wang, even though not a really good season for them, their Lion King free skate was one of my favorites this season. When it was skated clean, it was a really good program. It definitely highlighted them as it definitely brought out their strong suits as individual skaters, definitely towards the end of the program. And so that was one of my favorite programs this season. So, not a great season for them. I'm hoping they're going to come back strong.
So let's move on to the ice dance event. Wow. Let's go ahead, Matteo. What did our listeners have to say?
Well, Chuck and Bait, three particularly, and their win at Worlds was mentioned three times, clearly a favorite of the season. There was someone that was quite specific. They mentioned Lopareva and Brissot's slight move at Skate Canada because his listeners were there and they were witnessing that at eye levels. So I love how specific they got with that. Other teams that were mentioned were Piper Keels and Paul Poirier, and particularly their rhythm dance. And I think let's mention the costume change, which
five different costumes they had. Yeah. Wow.
That was quite something. Well done. Both Finnish teams' free programs got a couple of mentions as well. They really made an impression on our listeners. Also mentioned, well, the superstar of the season, Olivia's Martin Team Dix free program. I'm pretty sure we'll get back to it.
Yes, we will.
We will.
Caroline Green and Michael Parsons' free dance at Nationals also got mentioned. And finally, Holly Harris and Jason Chan's free program.
Yeah, they mentioned a bunch of the teams already that are on my list. I really enjoyed both programs by Evgenia and Jeffrey of France. I know that the dynamic, more modern programs are not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, but for me, I was all in on it. And getting to see them skate them at Worlds was great. I really enjoyed that a lot. One moment in particular I wanted to mention, going back to Yuka Orihara and Juho Perinen, their free skate at Worlds blew the roof off the place.
Sure did.
It was so great. The energy, I think, the crowd in particular anyway, I think the skating audience at Worlds was very knowledgeable because there was a lot of support for all the skaters, but they really got into that one. There was just a lot of energy and joy, and that was one performance that will always stand out to me.
Yeah,
I want to point out Allison Reed is an ice dancer who got her citizenship. She will be eligible to represent Lithuania. Unfortunately, they finished in a non-qualifying position, so they will have to go to the qualifying event to get a spot. I really believe that they will do that. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I wanted to point out the fact that we started out with Chalk and Bates and, what, 11 different music choices at the beginning, and by the end, I think we were down to 7. It was a lot at the beginning, and I feel like they really fine-tuned it, so by the end, it was a lot less. I get what they were trying to do with it. I think they were really trying to show music through the decades, and I think they did that. I'm interested if next season they will return, especially for the free dance, to programs that are more abstract, avant-garde, or story-based versus classic ice dance. Because they can do both, but they really seem to excel at the more character-driven pieces. So,
I seem to remember reading that Madison Chalk is reading, was starting to read things about Italy, so I'm not sure whether they're putting together a process of coming out with a program that can be pertinent for the Olympic Games location. You know, it's just something that was mentioned. Of course, as we know, the creative process is very intense and very can take them towards many different directions, but it's interesting to see that she was also thinking about that. And we know that she's got an interest in costume design. She designed their costumes again. She also designed Olivia Smart's costume. It won an award this season. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Madison Chalk will come up with, because if they end up having an Italian theme, also, Milan is one of the capital of fashions, so there's so much that Madison can look at and come up with that will, I'm pretty sure, be mind-blowing again.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what they come up with this season. And I saw their names on a list earlier on the fast track to judging. It was an article that came out, and both their names were on it as a list of people that are in this judging track that the U.S. figure skating is doing. So I'm interested to see if that's, like, I'm assuming that's going to be a post-skating.
Oh, yeah. Definitely for Evan, I could see him. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But for me, I definitely, Chalk and Bates, I did like their rhythm dance once they fine-tuned it and got down to an appropriate amount of numbers of songs in that rhythm dance. I liked it.
Yeah, you know, that definitely helped a lot.
And I liked having Piper and Paul switching it up with their costumes for their rhythm dance. I was not shy about the fact that I never really got on board with Paul's, free dance costume, with the cutout in the back. he explained it at Worlds and while I got what he was going for, it still was very distracting for me. I kept looking at his back, most of the time. And I'm kind of wondering what they're going to kind of come up with for their free dance for next season. Because this was a little different than what we've seen of them in the past. So, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. I definitely loved Chorus Line. That was my favorite, seeing it at Worlds, along with Olivia and Tim. And if I could start a petition right now, I would say, Olivia and Tim, please keep that free dance for the Olympics. I know Daphne says yes. that no one keeps their same free dance.
In dance, you just don't. Unless you're injured, sometimes you'll keep a program. I think for the Olympic season, it should be allowed.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 years of icedance.com, I very seldom see teams keep the same program. But in this case, I'd really like to see what they can do with it, because I feel like it's just really, really good. And
it's beautiful.
To talk about a team that, I mean, let's be honest. Last year at Worlds, they were 19th. They finished 6th at this world, third in the free dance. Okay. Want to talk about most improved? I would get on board with that.
And let's not forget that they were fourth at the European Championships as well. So,
and they won a Grand Prix medal, didn't they?
Yeah, they're posing a threat for the Menthon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did. I loved the second version of the costumes, the one that we got after. Because the ones that they originally had were darker and more mustard brown. Yes. And I love this sandstorm, like Dune-esque. It matched more. And I actually had to send their program to some of my friends who are big fans of the movie, especially the new ones, because it's pretty amazing.
And that program, people liked it who weren't even ace dancers. That was the first program that Vincent mentioned when we were chatting with him. So, So definitely I'm going to start a petition. Olivia and Tim, keep that free dance.
Yeah.
I think I saw an Instagram video the other day that they're working already. Like, they're getting back to work. There's not any downtime really for anyone now, because this is an Olympic year and all bets are off. It's work hard, be ready. It's a very long season, because if you look at it, what happens is you're basically looking at two seasons in a row with no real break. Some of the skaters are doing tours, like in Canada. I know there's Stars on Ice. There's been Stars on Ice in Japan. There's the US, small US tour that's going to happen. That's about the only break that anyone's really going to get, because you have to jump back in. There's so much at stake. And honestly, I knew that going into Worlds, but to see the relief on skaters' faces in the kiss and cry when they realized that they did enough to qualify a spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, really. You can see the relief from all the tension that's built up.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I want to mention, so first of all, Julia Turkila, Matthias Wersuli's Freedance is phenomenal. I think I said it before, picture perfect in so many parts of that program. And actually, you were there, I was not there, but when they almost didn't qualify at World, I was almost crying. Luckily, they got 20th. In. So they were the very last team that qualified, and they redeemed themselves jumping up from 20th to 11th at the end overall. But their free dance to me stands out. That's another free dance that I heard a couple of people saying they should keep it for the next season, because it's something that is not really their cup of tea, but they've really developed and performed in a fantastic way. And the other team that I want to mention is Charlene Guignard and Marco Fabbri. The reason why I want to mention them is that they didn't go through an easy season. So they decided to take a risk with their free program, with that robotic theme. There were a lot of critics, but I really want to applaud their resilience to stick to their choice and continue the season. It didn't end the way they wanted, because they were a bit disappointed not to medal at World. But really well done to them, because they're mature skaters, and it's not an easy thing to end the year before the Olympic Games in your country not in a very solid way, I think. So hopefully, you know, they're mature enough to just look at the lessons to take away from this season. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, I'm hoping that they will come back in a really good spirit, ready to enter the new season and show what they're capable of.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, because last season, Lila Fear, Lewis Gibson had the Rocky program. People were really split on that, but they stayed committed to it. And again, I think if you have an idea and you stay committed to it, it may not work out, or it might work out. But I think being willing to stick to your guns and fight for it and continue to push for it. And they made modifications throughout the season too, like their hair and just different parts of it. But you have to commend that.
As you said, they made changes to it. I think one of the changes that I kind of wish they didn't change was the costumes. I know no one liked those costumes, you know, at the beginning of the season, but I think that those costumes were a little bit better at telling the story of the program than the ones that they ended up skating to, you know, most of the season with. I found sometimes not really being able to get the storyline with seeing those costumes. And I thought maybe they should have kept the ones they had. As distracting as they were to people, maybe those should have been the costumes they had all season. But, you know, I'm glad they stuck with it. We definitely have to mention Lila and Lewis, who made history by getting on the podium at Worlds for the first time since Yeah.
1994 was the last time a British team was on the podium. Yep. And that team is skating in their final performances now, because they had come back in 1994. Talking about, of course, Jane Torval and Christopher Dean, which Matteo was at that one of the first performances of the tour. And that was the last British
team. Closing their careers after 50 years.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Long, long, long career.
Very long career.
Well, before we go to juniors, I want to mention one other team, but that would be Emmy Zingis and Vadim Kolesnik. I really liked their free dance this season. They were fourth at the U.S. Championships, and they did compete at four continents. But this program, to me, was really just highlighted them as a team. Just kind of, it really showed that they're kind of one of those teams in the mix. Kind of been in the U.S., it's been Chalk and Bates and Christina and Anthony and Caroline and Michael, but they were third after the rhythm dance. And I, you know, I think they can definitely, if they put a program like this was out next season, they could be in the mix for an Olympic spot. For sure. So, yeah, I really liked that program this season.
And again, another team that we're not really aware of citizenship, like where things sit. So, what the process is. Let's go ahead and transition to our junior ice dance.
The winner of the Junior World Championships were Noemi Maria Talli and Noala Fornaro of Italy. Exceptionally good team. They won everything this season. They're transitioning into senior next season. So let's see what they're doing. And I think they will already have a very strong entrance into the senior field. And it's interesting because silver and bronze at World were exactly what we saw at the Grand Prix final in the juniors. So silver was Katarina Wolkowski and Dmitry Zareski of United States. And bronze was Daria Grimm and Michael Savitsky of Germany.
Well, I definitely just want to mention some things that happened in synchro this season. Definitely the standout for me is Teams Elite made history by being the first U.S. team to win a world title at any level in synchro. We had them on the podcast. It was great to talk to them. What an accomplishment for them this season. And just, you know, Teams Elite has some really incredible teams. In the other levels, that, you know, won U.S. titles too. So definitely, they are showing their real strength in synchro. And it was great to see that they were joined on the world podium by the Skyliners, who took home a bronze medal. So two U.S. teams on the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships podium. And then in the seniors, we had a new world champion, and that was the Helsinki Rockettes. After Les Supremes of Canada having won multiple world titles, it was the Helsinki Rockettes who took home a world title this year. The Haydenettes also returned to the world podium. This season, they finished in third place, and they took home the bronze after winning silver the previous season. And then Team Unique was the silver medalist at the World Championships. So great season for synchro. It was exciting to watch. Unfortunately, it's not an Olympic season for them next year. You know, synchro is still not part of the Olympics, but definitely we'll be keeping an eye out for all of the teams next season.
Yeah. And I want to close things out with a few notes about solo dance, which has become an international discipline with recognition by the ISU. We had the first international competitions take place this season. It's been so much fun to watch the competitors post photos and share stories of their experiences. In the U.S., where solo dance is... it's been popular for a while. I remember solo dance way back when I first started going to Lake Placid. We had a title change at the top of senior in the U.S. with Lucas Appel returning to the top spot and Brooke Tufts winning the silver medal. And she was last year's champion. So they have gone back and forth a bit. So I'm interested to see how things play out this year. Both of them have been competing internationally. There are others as well. It's really growing and becoming something bigger. And I'm proud of the athletes that are competing in it. And I look forward to seeing and tracking how things continue to go.
Shall we say something just to wrap up all the senior field here? So it seems like Alyssa Liu is almost the fan's favorite or the listener's favorite when it comes to a skater's point of view. When it comes to an event point of view, the favorite one is definitely the World Championships. So it was by far the most popular. So quite a lot of listeners were there. So they loved the energy, the electricity, the emotions that were shown by the crowd. And I'm pretty sure you, Daphne and Gina, really enjoyed it. And I still cannot believe that I missed it, but I won't do the same mistake again in the future.
As far as things that happened this season, I know something that we're going to take with us going forward through future seasons is remembering those who were impacted by the tragedy of American Airlines Flight 5342. In the 60 passengers that were on the plane, 11 were members of the U.S. National Development Team, as well as 4 coaches and 13 family members. There was a beautiful Legacy on Ice tribute show that was held to raise money for the families, as well as a memorial or a moment of remembrance was held at the World Championships, where there were speakers. Spencer Lane's father spoke. All of the skaters, especially those from the Skating Club of Boston, were carrying photos to the Kiss and Cry for the competitions that came after the world, after the tragedy, including Jimmy Ma and Alisa Efimova, Misha Mitrofanov. These were communities that were impacted by this terrible, terrible plane crash. And I know that trying to move forward and look ahead to next season, it feels a little bit different because there are going to be people missing. There are our coaches and skaters, family that are going to be missing from these competitions. And we definitely could not talk about the events of this season without at least mentioning it. We did do an episode completely devoted to it where we talked about the athletes. There have been numerous articles and tributes and GoFundMes and many things that have been held.
Yeah, you know, for me, Legacy on Ice will be, you know, going to that will be a highlight for me this season. Just definitely being there to show my support and to represent, you know, you guys and everyone else who was not able to jump on a plane or, you know, drive down there to be at the show. I was glad I was able to do so. And that, again, will always stand out. I don't think we can, you know, forget completely what happened. That will always still be something when I look back at the U.S. Championships and being in Wichita and then realizing a couple days later that the people that were sitting right in front of me did not make it home safely. It's still anytime, you know, someone mentions Wichita, that's the first thing I think of. So it'll always be that. Yeah. And then I will always remember that from the season. And I hope that I will never forget it as we, you know, continue covering the sport, you know, those that we lost on that plane crash. And I liked, you know, to just seeing how the skating community came together in those days after with the shows, the benefit shows. You know, it wasn't just Legacy on Ice. There were other skating clubs that had shows, or how all of the skating clubs got in front of their camera, the live feed, at the same time on a given day, and we're all with signs and flowers and tributes to the victims. I thought that was great. You know, the resilience of the skating community is something that I will always remember, because it was just, it really showed us how small our community is, but how strong of a community it is.
Mm. linking to that, I was at European Championships the week after the crash. And although, you know, we're not in America, the majority of the victims were Americans, the thing was still quite strong for us in Europe as well, because as you said, we are a very small community. So a lot of the skaters and the teams and the coaches that were there at European Championships knew some of those that died, and you know, whether they skated with them, they had summer camps with them. So the impact was definitely international, and it's one of those things that we have to remember and will keep in our memories for the rest of our lives, I'm sure.
Yeah. Gina, I was super appreciative that you and your family were able to go to the show to represent those of us who couldn't get there. Because a few of you were there, you, Melanie, Jordan, it meant a lot to have someone actually be there on site to bear witness to the beautiful performances that were skated in tribute to these amazing athletes. And again, the joy that we had just witnessed, because these development camp kids were so excited to be at this camp, not even just the camp, but being there to support.
Yeah.
The skaters, they were just so joyful, and they represented the future of the sport.
Yeah, it's always hard to look at a red jacket the same, you know, when you saw those red jackets. Mm-hmm. And then I saw some, you know, in Boston wearing the red jackets. And as soon as I see the red jackets, I start crying. You know, the future of our sport, who was there in Wichita having the time of their lives, you know, development camp is going to be very different, you know, going forward. But, you know, again, it's just something that I hope we, the three of us and all of our skating friends, will just continue to make sure their stories are told and that we never forget them as we are continuing to cover, you know, the current skaters and, you know, their fellow up and comers that, you know, were participating in camp with them and other up and comers as well. So.
Do either of you have any notes left? Because I feel like we have covered so many things.
I think it couldn't be any more comprehensive, actually.
I mean, there probably will be something that'll come up like 3 days later, but if we stay on here talking forever, it's going to be a 5-hour podcast.
Yeah. And then it's breakfast time for me.
No.
And we can't do that to Mateo. He does have to go to bed. So what we'd like to do to close out is to thank you all for listening and for coming back with us every week and sending in your feedback at the end of the season. Hopefully next year we'll do this more often. We'd like to do this more often and really hear from you what you're thinking about, you know, how things are going in the season and questions that you may have, so that we can kind of open this up more to you and have us and our content be driven specifically for you. So we'd really like to do that. We will hold a contest probably right off the bat when we first come back after our break, because it's time.
Yeah.
I've been kind of hinting at it for a while, and I think that we need to follow through with it. So we're going to do that. In the meantime, follow us on social media at This Week in Skating. We are going to be posting and reposting things as they're happening. As I said earlier, we will come back and talk about something if something major happens. In the meantime, you can also follow Figure Skaters online. You can also follow IceDance.com on social media. We will be gearing those sites up for the season. I have a laundry list of things I need to be doing.
But I've been sort of on a little break right now, kind of like, let me just kind of relax a little bit. But the list is getting long, so I need to get back into it.
Yeah. So there's tons to do, but we will be back. And as always, until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.